I am constantly hearing from clients that summer can be one of the most triggering times to be a person who is trying to divest from diet culture and heal your relationship with your body. This is because diet culture messaging can really ramp up during this season. And that is why I have created a free event for you. I am so excited to invite you to join the Anti-Diet Summer Support Panel, a free event to help support you on your journey divesting from diet culture this summer. This event's on June 6th at 3:30 Pacific /6:30 Eastern /convert that to whatever time zone you're in. I'm going to be joined by three amazing anti-diet professionals. The first one being Bree Campos, who is a body image therapist and former podcast guest. Daisy Gillespie, who is an anti-diet personal stylist and also a former podcast guest. And Hannah Husband, an anti-diet personal trainer. You can learn more in RSVP to this free event via the link in the show notes. Welcome to Shoulders Down, a podcast for truth seekers who want to heal their relationships with food and body. I'm your host, Leah Kern, and I'm an anti-diet dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and fellow truth seeker with personal experience navigating disordered eating. In this podcast, you'll learn to harness your body's innate wisdom to govern not just how you eat, but also how you live. It's my mission to help you heal your relationship with food and body so you can live your most aligned and fulfilling life. Welcome, and I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome back to another episode of Shoulders Down. Today, we have a solo episode for you, so it's just going to be me and you chatting. And I've been feeling good about this kind of rhythm that we've gotten into with the podcast, where for the most part, every other week is a solo episode. So solo guest, solo guest. And yeah, I feel like it feels pretty balanced. If you have any feedback, if you want to see more solo episodes, if you have any topics you want to see, if you want to see more guest episodes, if there's any guests you want to see on the show, I would love to hear from you. You can email me or you can leave me a voice note via my SpeakPipe, which you can find both of those things in the link in my show notes. Okay, so today we are going to be doing another like 10 things episode. I have also been feeling really called to these kind of like more like short form and like kind of not like fast paced necessarily, but more like bing, bang, boom, like if that makes sense, like 10 things that you can do for X or 10 ways to Y, whatever. It just feels like a nice way to deliver you some really actionable tools and to mix it up from these more like kind of heady long form conversations. And so I gave this disclaimer on the last episode that sort of followed this format, which was, I think that one was 11 things you can do today to improve your relationship with your body. The disclaimer that I'll give again for today's episode, which is 10 ways you can start divesting from diet culture today. The disclaimer is sometimes these lists can make it seem like it's just this easy. Just do these 10 things and boom, you know, you'll be divested from diet culture or you'll have healed your relationship with your body. And that's not true. My intention with these episodes is to give you, like I said, some nice, concrete, actionable tools, but I never want to send the message that it's just this easy. If you just do these 10 things, you won't have any issues with food, your body, diet culture, etc. Because that's not true. These things are much more complicated than a 10-step list or, you know, 10 tools or whatever. But I still want to offer these tools because I think it can be really overwhelming with where to get started if you're kind of just learning about this world or just working on your body image or divesting from diet culture, for example. And I think these lists function as really nice ways to give you solid pointers or access points of where to start diving in with this work. So there's my disclaimer. And we are going to dive into the 10 ways you can start divesting from diet culture today. As I said, the reason why I wanted to do this episode is because I'm thinking a lot about the person who is just finding this world, just finding the intuitive eating, anti-diet, health at every size world, and that person might be overwhelmed, right? Like, where do I start? I've literally been dieting, restricting, disordered eating my whole life or for as long as I can remember. Now what? How do I start moving out of this and moving into this anti-diet framework? How do I start divesting from diet culture? So divesting from diet culture is really the first part of starting to heal your relationship with food and become an intuitive eater. You cannot become an intuitive eater and work on body acceptance and a peaceful relationship with food if you are still deeply invested in diet culture. So this episode is for you if you are like, how do I start divesting from diet culture? Whether you're brand new to this world of intuitive eating and anti-diet and you don't know where to start, or maybe you've been in this world a while and you are still looking for continued ways to work on divesting from diet culture, because it can be quite sneaky and there's always more ways likely that we can work on questioning places that diet culture shows up in our lives. Okay, without further ado, let's get into this list. So the number one thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture is to get rid of your scale. Or if getting rid of your scale doesn't feel accessible, or if you're like, Leah, I need my scale because when I travel, I weigh my bags and that's really useful. Or I don't know, maybe there's another reason you want to have your scale that doesn't have to do with monitoring your body weight. If getting rid of it altogether feels inaccessible, at least putting it out of sight. If it's like on your bathroom floor and you're seeing it all the time, which is tempting you to step on it, and that turns into deciding if you're worthy that day or not based on what that number says, this is just going to keep you stuck in diet culture. Because when we use the scale, we are using an outside metric to govern what we feel like we should be eating that day, or if we feel like we should or shouldn't be exercising that day, or if we feel like we do or don't deserve to socialize that day, or if we feel like we deserve to feel worthy that day or not. When we have the scale around, it can hold a lot of power. And it's an outside metric. It's an outside factor. And what I mean by that is it's something outside of you that is ultimately being used to govern your worth, your social life, your eating decisions, your exercise decisions. And what we want to do with intuitive eating and anti-diet, we want to work on rejecting these exterior metrics and instead turning inwards to our body's cues to govern whether or not we exercise that day and what we eat and whether or not we socialize. So instead of, oh, the scale is up, that means I have to restrict, we want to work on choosing how much we eat and when we eat and what we eat based on how we feel in our body. Oh, my body's craving something really hearty today, or my body's craving something really refreshing. We want to be able to honor those cues that are coming from an inside place. And it can be hard to honor those cues. Say your body's craving something hearty, but the scale was up. And you say, well, I don't deserve something hearty. I should just have something lighter to make up for the fact that the scale was up today, or something like this. This is how the scale can get in the way of hearing our body's cues and honoring our body's cues, which keeps us stuck in the diet mentality, which is the mentality of ultimately outsourcing our body decisions, our eating decisions, our movement decisions, and other decisions about how we live our lives to exterior metrics like the scale or a calorie label or a calorie tracking app or a food protocol or diet plan or any other number of things. That is the first thing you can work on doing. And if that feels like too big of a leap, consider at least trying to cut down on how much you're getting on the scale. So I remember working with a client who, when we first started together, she was getting on the scale like 3 times a day, every single day. And we worked on, okay, let's kind of wean down to once a day, maybe then weaning down to twice a week or something. And then ultimately just weaning off of it until it just wasn't a part of her kind of like daily life at all. And so this is an example of how you can make that transition more realistic if you're coming from a place of really using the scale a lot. The second thing you can do to start divesting from diet culture today is to transition away from checking calorie labels. Now, I want to give the disclaimer, if you need to be checking the nutrition label because you have an allergy, that is, you know, important, and I don't want you to stop checking the label if that is your situation or if there's other a different medically necessary reason. But for the person who is checking a calorie label and saying, this is too high calorie, I can't eat it, or whatever other metric you may be kind of caught up with, whether, you know, this is too high carb or too much sugar or whatever. Again, when we rely on the calorie label to govern our eating decisions, this is another example of outsourcing our eating decisions to something external. Whereas instead of being like, what's a serving size and how many calories in a serving size? Oh, okay, it says eight chips. I'll stop when I have eight chips. Instead of doing that, if we can say, let me eat chips until I feel satisfied, until I feel like my body has had enough of this savory, crunchy food, and then I'll be done. When we use the label to tell us when to stop, we are further tarnishing our body's trust with us and further sending the message to your body that you don't trust it because you're not going inwards to use its cues and to listen. Whereas when we go inwards and say, oh, how much does my body want? Does my body want eight chips? Does my body want 10 chips? Does my body want half a bag? Then your body says, oh, okay, you're listening to us and you're actually considering how we're feeling and what we're needing instead of following this arbitrary label that has no idea the context of your day, your physical activity level, the foods you ate earlier, the foods you ate the day before, your metabolism, where you are in your cycle, these endless factors that can impact our food cravings and the amount of food that we need on any given day. I know it can be difficult to transition away from checking calorie labels, especially if this is something that you've just like habitually done. In my story, I had a big phase of logging calories, checking calories, and it freaked me out to stop doing that. It felt like I was kind of losing control. But what helped me was reminding myself that even when I was obsessing about calories, I was still feeling out of control. I was still feeling the urge to binge, and food was controlling my life. So the reframe that really helped me was, by stopping looking at these labels, I'll actually find more control of my life versus the less control, which is kind of like the message that diet culture always told me of like, oh, if you stop counting your calories and stop vigilant and stop being like hypervigilant about the labels and seeing if the food is clean or not or whatever, then you'll be out of control. Actually, the opposite is often true. If you stop doing those things, you often find a lot more peace and have more agency in your life, more control in your life. If this is something that feels really hard, again, baby steps. Maybe it starts with just, you know, having an amount of chips that you want and not checking the label to see, well, how many servings did I have and how many calories was that or something. And then maybe you kind of move to not checking the calories of a meal that you order at a restaurant or something. Baby steps. I know it can be a lot to just kind of switch from one extreme to the other. Some reframes that might be helpful here are reminding yourself, this will help me feel actually more in control in the long term, not less. You might tell yourself, I'm working on trusting that my body knows how much it needs. Or you might say something like, I'm working on trusting my body over an arbitrary calorie label. Or you might say something like, I'm in the process of unlearning that I need to govern my eating by a nutrition label or a calorie label, whatever it is. So those are some reframes that, you know, you could play with and see if anything like that lands for you. The third thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture today is to stop putting down your body and other people's bodies. This happens all the time, unfortunately, especially in like circles with women. I've seen and experienced where someone might say something like, "Ugh, I look so gross. I look so fat. I'm so ugly. Ew, I hate my body. I hate my chins," or whatever. And often there can become these spaces where folks commiserate together, or, you know, people join in and say like, "Oh, well, I hate this thing about myself," to try and feel connected and part of the group who's doing that. And this is perpetuating diet culture, because diet culture really places an emphasis on body hierarchy of like, there's a right and wrong way for bodies to look. Commiserating with other people about not liking how your body looks is really characteristic of diet culture, because it's an example of, you know, all the emphasis being on how you look. Like when you're hanging out with friends, instead of talking about other things, the conversation goes to bodies. And that's exactly what diet culture wants, right? It wants you to place all your time and energy obsessing over how you look and your body, because that's how diet culture continues to be profitable, to keep you unhappy and unsatisfied with your body. So you continue to want to change it. If you can work on stopping criticizing your own body in front of other people, especially, though ideally just in general, right? Like not kind of opening the door for this connection over body hatred. And in the same sort of breath here, we want to think about if you are used to connecting with others by complimenting their body, can we consider other things to compliment our loved ones on, or the people in our life that aren't body centric, so that we can decenter this diet culture idea that our bodies are the most important and most interesting things about us? So when you see a friend, can you compliment their smile, their energy, the way that they are as a friend, their passion, their drive, the kind of mother they are, the way that they are dedicated to the community, whatever it is? Can you compliment them for something if you're used to complimenting them on their body? Can you compliment them for something beyond the size or shape of their body? So that's one part of it. And of course, the other part is noticing when you feel the urge to put yourself down, or even if you're like in a gossip situation and you want to talk shit about someone else's body, can you shift that? Can you redirect it? Because by continuing to talk about your body, your friends' bodies, other people's bodies behind their back, this is perpetuating this idea again that is very much a diet culture idea that says our bodies are the most interesting things about us, and they are the things that we should spend all of our time and energy talking about. And again, I think I'm going to say this for every single one, because I know so many of these are easier said than done, but I know it can be difficult to shift away from talking about bodies, from talking about your own body and other people's bodies, when this is so just like woven into the fabric of our culture, and especially in my experience, the culture of like girlhood and womanhood. You can be a positive influence on the people around you if you work on intentionally shifting away from talking about bodies. Your loved ones will notice, hopefully. And if it's something that you want to make more explicit, you might consider making a boundary with loved ones and saying like, "Hey, I'm really working on divesting from diet culture. And for me, part of that is making a conscious effort to not talk about other people's bodies badly or at all, or my own." So it could be something that you educate your loved ones on if you find that it just like keeps happening and you keep ending up around it. Okay. The fourth thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture today is to get rid of all of those diet books and diet cookbooks and diet plans and whatever that you have laying around. You can donate them, or maybe just burn them. I don't know, because I always think about donating. I'm like, "Oh, I don't want this one to end up in someone else's hands." But it's important to get them out of the house, unless there's like a cookbook where, yes, it's a little diety, but there's a recipe in there that you really like from a place of like genuinely enjoying it or something. I think that could be an exception. But getting rid of these books is part of the process of like physically breaking up with diet culture. There's the part of breaking up with diet culture that's like removing the diet tools from your environment. So like the scale, the books, the apps, which we'll get into some of those a little bit later in this list. And then some of the parts of breaking up with diet culture are more in the sort of neural pathway realm as opposed to the physical realm. And that has to do with rewiring your thoughts around food and body. But I think it really starts with getting rid of the physical tools of dieting, really clearing them from your space to signal to your brain and your body, we're serious about leaving this part behind and stepping into a more peaceful and supportive and nourishing and caring and compassionate relationship with ourselves. When you have these books laying around, I feel like there's just like, they're like ghosts that sort of haunt you. And I don't know, I believe in energy and I believe that, well, I believe in energy. That's like a non-disputable thing, right? Like there's energy in the world, but I'm someone who thinks about like the energetic realm. And I feel like a book that's like sitting on your shelf is an energy that like you don't need. If you're trying to step away from diet culture, we really want to clear out that diet culture energy that could be manifesting in the forms of, you know, the old diety books that you have laying around. There are so many diety books that are burned into my brain. And I mean, it's been a while. I haven't had them in my possession for a while. But I remember this like orange book that used to be on our coffee table growing up that said, eat this, not that. I had this book, I forget the name of it, but it was like, it's like cutesy little book. And it was about like eating foods that make you beautiful. And that wasn't so like overtly diety. It wasn't like Whole 30 keto, but the vibe of the book like made me feel bad and made me feel like, oh, if like I had acne, it was my fault. I wasn't glowing from within because I wasn't eating the right things or this kind of thing. So all of that is to say, let's get rid of or donate those diet books, diet cookbooks, so that you can clear that energetic space and signal to your brain and body that you are not going to abuse it anymore. You're not going to restrict it anymore. You're going to turn over a new leaf and step into this more compassionate and peaceful and freeing relationship. The fifth thing you can do to start divesting from diet culture today is applicable if you are someone who's on social media. I want you to work on cleaning out who you follow. If you have people that you're following that are remnants from your diet days, whether that's like fellow Beachbody coaches or, I don't know, Optivia or Weight Watchers or people on weight loss journeys sharing all their before and after pictures, anything like this, you can start doing a big cleanse and a big unfollowing, because just like we want to get rid of the physical tools of dieting, the things that are physically in your space, like the scale and like the books, those kind of things, we also want to kind of clean up and clear out the things that are going into your brain on more of that neural pathway level, like I said before, and the content you're consuming absolutely impacts your neural pathways, which impact your thoughts and beliefs about food in your body. So we really want to take the time to be discerning about who you're following. And there might be some sadness and some grief here of like, oh, wow, I followed this person for a while. And, you know, I like them. Maybe they have a cute dog or kid or something that you're invested in. And at the same time, if they are someone promoting diety things or making you feel bad about your body or your food choices, you don't need any further explanation. You are allowed to just unfollow. And, you know, you could always search them and check in on their kid or their dog or whatever other reason you enjoyed staying connected with them. But what we don't want is for you to passively be internalizing the diety messages that are embedded in their content when you're just like scrolling your feed or looking at stories or whatever. The sixth thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture is to stop using the words junk, crap, and unhealthy. And I will give you new words that you can use. Language matters. The language we use carries certain feelings and sort of elements of shame and guilt. And so we want to be really thoughtful about the language we're using. So what I teach my clients is, instead of using the words healthy and unhealthy, I like to say, for what we would usually call healthy, I like to say nutrient dense. And for unhealthy, I like to say fun foods or play foods or not nutrient dense foods or foods that are less nutrient dense. The reason for this language shift is because the words unhealthy or junk or crap or whatever are so loaded in our culture and our diet culture, right? They have come to mean foods that you should feel guilty about, foods that aren't worthy, foods that mean you're failing and you're not doing as good of a job at feeding yourself or your family. And whereas the words healthy have been associated with like moral superiority and increased worthiness and success, and that good, bad mentality, that difference in morality associated with those words can lead us to feel guilt or shame or pride about what we're eating. And either way, we want to move away from attaching any sense of like morality, good, bad, to food. So words like nutrient dense, for what we would usually use to describe a healthy food, and less nutrient dense, for what we might usually use to describe a quote unquote junk food or unhealthy food, these words are much more objective. The truth is, like, objectively, yes, there are foods that have more nutrients per bite than other foods. And there are foods that still give us fuel, but they don't have as many maybe micronutrients and minerals and fiber, but they're still useful. So, for example, like ice cream or chips or cookies, those foods still have value. They still offer our bodies energy in the form of carb and fat. And that's useful, right? But they might not have as many nutrients per bite as something like a salad with more minerals and vitamins. But morally, those foods are the same. Objectively, yeah, one's more nutrient dense and one is less nutrient dense. And if instead of less nutrient dense, you like the words like play foods or fun foods, that's okay too. But I used to recommend play foods or fun foods for the terminology. I actually like the words less nutrient dense now, because I think play foods and fun foods gives this idea that like that's all they are. They're just play or they're just fun. But that's actually not true. They're also sustenance. There's plenty of energy or calories in the form of, you know, often carb and fat in those more less nutrient dense foods. So it's not like they're just fun or play. They're also like survival and also offering a real purpose to the body. So consider shifting the language that you're using to talk about food to, again, start to undo some of this linked shame and guilt that comes with labeling foods as junk or unhealthy, or to even undo the sense of like pride and moral superiority that comes with the foods that are conventionally considered healthy. The seventh thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture, you can delete those diety and tracking apps, whether it's MyFitnessPal or a macro tracking app or any other diet apps that you might have downloaded, maybe the Weight Watchers app. Let's get those off your phone, because we want to break that habit of going to the app and saying, how many points do I have left? How many calories do I have left? Am I allowed to keep eating today, or do I have to stop because the app says so? Again, these apps continue perpetuating the cycle of us turning to outside metrics to govern our eating decisions instead of going inwards to consider, well, am I still hungry today, or am I full? Because maybe you're full, but the app says you have X amount more calories or points left. And maybe you feel like that, like from a place of scarcity of like, ooh, well, I got to eat my extra calories so that I can get it in now while I can, because tomorrow I might not have the chance. I might not have any leftover tomorrow. Or it could go the other way, where maybe you're still hungry, but your app says, oh, you're out of calories or points for the day. Sorry. And then you don't eat, or you do eat and you feel guilty. And this is sending the message to your body that I don't trust you. I trust an app or a piece of technology more than you and your cues. That's like you talking to your body. So deleting these apps, I know this can be hard, especially if you've like paid for them or you're paying for like a Weight Watchers membership or something. I've definitely had clients in this position, but you know, can we consider it a sunk cost and start walking towards healing instead of continuing to be in this binge restrict cycle, the cycle of outsourcing your eating decisions to an exterior metric, which is only going to keep you from this peaceful and freeing relationship with food, this intuitive relationship with food. It's only going to keep you from getting there for longer. Okay, so on the flip side of getting rid of all of these tools of dieting, these tools that you've maybe used in the past to govern your eating decisions, like calorie labels or diet books or the diet apps, the tracking apps, this might leave you feeling like, okay, well, then how do I figure out what to eat? And so this brings us to the eighth thing that you can do to start divesting from diet culture today. And that is to start using a hunger fullness scale to determine, to practice connecting to your body's cues to determine when to eat, what to eat, and how much to eat. You can head to the link in the show notes and download my free hunger fullness scale and the supplemental activity that I give you to practice implementing it. But essentially, a hunger fullness scale is a tool that I use with my clients in my course and my one-to-one program to help them make this transition away from outsourcing eating decisions and towards going inwards and having something tangible to use to actually access body cues and to go inwards to start figuring out what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. My clients love the hunger fullness scale. It's one of their favorite activities. It's one of those major unlock and like game changing activities that we do. And I do it early on with my clients, and it can just lead to that nice quick win that can give you that motivation and momentum to keep going in your journey, divesting from diet culture and pursuing intuitive eating. So don't forget to head to the link in the show notes and download that free copy. And I can't wait to hear how it goes for you. You will get it in your inbox from me as soon as you download it. Number nine, the ninth thing you can do to start divesting from diet culture is to report diet culture targeted ads that get served to you on social media. So before we spoke about unfollowing accounts of influencers or, you know, even loved ones that you maybe follow who are showing before and after pictures or just making you feel shitty or making you feel tempted to diet or restrict or manipulate your body in any way. So because of the way social media is set up, even if you do all that unfollowing, you might still be getting served targeted ads that are diet centric. So what you can do, and I did this back when I was on Instagram, I'm not on Instagram anymore, I would click the three dots at like the usually the top right or maybe the bottom right of the ad and hit like report, or you can say like, don't show me this again. And if you hit report, it'll be like, why? And you could say like, it violates content that I, you know, feel comfortable seeing. You can say like, it's a scam. It's inaccurate. I don't know. I used to like click any of those because in my view, that's the truth. But whatever you do, you just want to do something to start to kind of send the message to the algorithm that's sending you targeted ads that you don't want to be receiving these diety ads. And this can be an important way, again, to shift your neural pathways, because it might not seem like a lot on the surface, but every time you scroll past one of these ads, your brain is having to exert mental energy to be like, oh, should we stay on this path of rejecting diet culture? Ooh, should we go take that supplement or drink that skinny tea or, you know, do the XYZ thing that's being advertised? And reporting these ads and helping to limit them in your feed can help to limit the amount of energy that your brain is having to spend deciding between, do we stay in the comfort of this old pattern that we've been in of dieting and restricting, or do we walk towards anti-diet, intuitive eating way of relating to food and our body? It is harder to choose the one that is newer because our brains like the comfort of the known. So your brain is going to want to go down that diety restrictive pathway, because it's just what it knows, right? It's probably the thing you've spent a longer time doing in your life. And it's going to be a little harder to say, nope, I reject that. I'm going to continue on my way with my anti-diet world and my anti-diet journey. So if we can at least limit those ads, we can limit those that mental energy that it takes to kind of create change. Okay, number 10, we're at the last one on this list. When it comes to nutrition, nutrition is absolutely still a part of intuitive eating. A big misconception people have is that, oh, intuitive eating is just about like eat whatever you want. There's nothing to do with nutrition. That isn't true. Intuitive eating also considers what we call gentle nutrition, which is nutrition from a place of self-care, not self-control. Nutrition from a place of how do I want to feel in my body as opposed to how do I want to look in my body, or how am I going to use nutrition to manipulate the way that I look in my body, which, spoiler alert, it's really not the case that we can just like eat certain things and it could change our appearance. So the way that you can start to divest from that diet culture way of thinking about nutrition is to think about nutrition in terms of what you can add instead of thinking about nutrition in terms of restriction. So when thinking about a meal, you can say like, oh, what can I add into this that would give it even more nutrients? So I don't know, a really simple example, maybe you're making like a cheese quesadilla and you might say, okay, I want a cheese quesadilla. Great, fine, delicious, lovely. I think I'm going to have one tonight for dinner myself. That's why that example's on my mind. So from the diet culture perspective would be like, well, what should I limit? Because how can I make this something that is quote unquote better? And maybe from a diet culture perspective, you think of like, well, I shouldn't have this tortilla because it's carby. Let me have like a cauliflower tortilla instead or something. I don't know. But that's just going to lead you to feeling deprived, which will lead to binging later on. And instead, what if we looked at like, okay, cheese quesadilla, great. We got carb from the tortilla. We got protein and some fat and some calcium from the cheese. What else can we add in here? Well, maybe we'll add some spinach or sauteed peppers and onions for some more micronutrients and fiber. Or maybe we'll add some black beans for some more protein and fiber and also micronutrients. There's some iron in black beans and other micronutrients. This is the thought pattern. Another example could be maybe for dinner one night, you're really craving pasta. Great. Pasta's great. It has carbs, which is quick energy, and there's some B vitamins in the flour that's used to make pasta. And from a place of gentle nutrition, we can ask, instead of saying, oh, I shouldn't have pasta, let me limit the pasta or swap the pasta for, I don't know, chickpea pasta or, I don't know, some other like pasta alternative, can we instead ask, what can I add to this pasta to increase the nutrients? Maybe we add, I don't know, some chicken and broccoli. Maybe we add some mushrooms and onions. Maybe we add some white beans and greens, whatever it is. Or maybe you have the pasta plain and on the side you say, ooh, I don't know, some roasted asparagus sounds good with this pasta, or some sauteed spinach and garlic sounds good with this pasta, whatever it is. So this is the mentality of saying, what can I add instead of what can I restrict? Our brains respond a lot better to thinking about adding in versus taking away. And I also love this way of approaching gentle nutrition because it centers your satisfaction, right? Like we're thinking of what's satisfying first, okay, cheese quesadilla or pasta. And then we're saying, well, what else can we add to this? Instead of diet culture usually has you start with like, what are you allowed to have? And maybe that's like a dry ass salad or, I don't know, plain chicken and broccoli or something, dried, flavorless chicken and broccoli. And it doesn't consider your satisfaction from the start. Whereas this way of thinking of it, we start with, what are you actually craving? And then we go in with the question, is there anything we can add to optimize this and to increase the nutritional value here? And here's the thing. If you just want the pasta with butter or, I don't know, the cheese quesadilla, that's totally fine. It's a morally equivalent choice to having the pasta with broccoli and peppers and onions or the quesadilla with beans and spinach or whatever else you put in it, morally equivalent. But we want to ask the question in case there's something that would help you not only add more nutrients, but also add more difference in taste and texture, and therefore adding more satisfaction and adding more staying power, keeping you fuller longer. But I don't want you to go and start like optimizing everything, right? Like sometimes you're just going to like want your ice cream for dessert, and you're not going to want to be like, ugh, let me add some nuts and bananas to this ice cream to optimize it. Because what we don't want to happen is for you to optimize something or add in something with more nutrients and then end up in a place where you don't even like your meal anymore because it's, you know, gotten to this place where it's not satisfying because you added too much or you added anything at all. Like sometimes we just need a plain bowl of buttered pasta or plain cheese quesadilla, and that's totally okay. You can add in nutrients at a different meal, or maybe you already did earlier that day and your body's like, we're chilling. We don't need more fiber. We got our nutrient fill, and that's great. So don't get stuck in that trap of like always adding, always optimizing, because that is characteristic of diet culture. So there we have it. That's our 10 things that you can do today to start divesting from diet culture. I hope this list was supportive for you. I hope you'll choose one or two or five or 10 of these things to start taking action on today. And I'm so glad that you're here in community with me in your journey to leaving diet culture. If you're looking for more support on your journey towards leaving diet culture, I would love to invite you to check out my website, leahkernrd.com, to see the different offerings that I have. I offer a one-to-one program called the Embodied Method, which is my heart and soul, my passion. I walk you through healing your relationship with food and body in my four-month program. And then I also offer a self-paced course, which is called The Return, which walks you through healing your relationship with food and body in a self-paced on-demand video module format situation. That course is such a labor of love. I'm so proud of it. And we've already had like over 20 people go through it. And those folks have had really significant changes and have found food freedom and done really big work on healing their relationship with food and body. And it's just amazing that a course can still give you those outcomes if you're not someone who is in a place where you're wanting to pursue one-to-one. So you can find the link for both of those in the show notes as well. The course you can find at leahkernrd.com/course. And my one-to-one program, you can apply at leahkernrd.com/apply. Also, I won't be taking applications for one-to-one for very long right now because I'm going to be taking some planned time off in the summer. And so if you're listening to this live, it's April, just for a few more weeks, I'll be accepting one-to-one applications before I close the doors for a little bit in preparation for some planned time off this summer. So if you want to get started on this work together soon, get that one-to-one application in or check out the link for my course in the show notes. And thanks for being here. I'm so glad you're here listening to Shoulders Down. I will see you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Shoulders Down. If you enjoyed the episode, if it inspired you, or if you learned something, consider sharing it with someone to help spread the anti-diet message. A special thanks to Softer Sounds for producing the podcast and making these conversations sound as beautiful as they feel. For more intuitive eating and body image support, visit leahkernrd.com and check out the blog and our free resources. To stay in tune with me and what's happening in my business and personal life, subscribe to my newsletter at leahkernrd.com/newsletter. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.